I'm so glad you're here today. Thank you for coming out on this morning. We're in the fourth week of a message series. And we've been talking about for the last few weeks that when Jesus came, he started some new stuff. He began to do some new things. He began to talk about a new covenant with God. He started a new thing called the church that was really not a common word before then. He started the church. He said some things that were new to people's ears. He said that he was the Son of God. He was the Son of Man. And the Son of God can't die. The Son of Man can't die. He said he was the resurrection. And the resurrection can't die. But then he died. But on the third day, he rose again. And all of the unusual things that he had been saying seemed to be validated, seemed to be punctuated, that Jesus really is the Son of God, that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the resurrection. And then he told his disciples that I want you to go into all the world and I want you to teach them the commandments that I've taught you. Now, when he was talking about going into all the world and teaching them the commandments, he was not talking about the Ten Commandments or the 560 plus laws that the Jewish people had been teaching at the temple. He was talking about the things, the commandments, to love one another. Like, this was his foundational teaching, his foundational commandment. Love one another the way that I've loved you. He told them to go into all the world and teach that. In fact, when they went into the Gentile world, because they were going to talk to people who were not from the Jewish faith, they didn't have the Old Testament scriptures. They didn't have the writings of the prophets. They had not been taught in the temple. They really didn't know anything about God as we know him, let alone through Jesus Christ. And so now these disciples, they're going out into the world and they're telling not all of the things from the Old Testament, but rather they're telling the teachings of Jesus. Teaching the commandments. And we've been focusing for the last few weeks on the commandments, the not commandments, the five things that Jesus said in the New Testament not to do. And today we're going to talk about a commandment that is often quoted. In fact, it's probably the most quoted not commandment in the New Testament. You've probably quoted, if today's the first day you've ever gone to church, you've probably quoted it before. You probably just didn't know that it came from Jesus. And today we're going to talk about this not commandment. It's maybe the most misunderstood, and hopefully we'll shed some light on it. And the not commandment we're going to talk about today is judge not. Judge not. I want to give a definition to judge not. Are you ready? Judge not. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. You can't size me up based off of what I'm wearing and what kind of body I have and what kind of things that I have on my body and the marks I have on my body. You can't size me up based off of who I am or where I've been and the people I run around with and size me up and write me off. Thou shalt not size me up and write me off. I want you to look at the person sitting next to you and I want you to say to them, thou shalt not, come on, look at them, look at somebody, thou shalt not size me up and write me off. Because no one wants to be judged. Do not judge. Thou shalt not judge. Then why do religious people seem to be so judgmental? Honestly, it doesn't matter what faith you've come from. The Jews, when you read about their stories in the Bible, man, they were really judgmental. Christians are known for being judgmental. The Muslim faith, we're watching the effects in the world of the extremists in their faith that are judgmental and what they're doing in response to that. Judgmental. Religious people seem to be judgmental. Several years ago, I didn't know they were going to be in service today. Several years ago, I was going out to dinner with Larry and Debbie, and this is Larry and Debbie Lawson. They had some family members in town. Aunt Carolyn was in town, and we were going out to dinner. And it was the first time I'd met them, the aunt and the uncle, and they were picking me up at my house, and I got into the car, and as soon as I got into the car, I said, okay, people, bunch of devils, straighten up your life, the preacher's in the car. That's what I said. And they said, like, it got so silent in the car, and finally Aunt Carolyn spoke up, and she said, they were just telling us that you're like one of the least judgmental people they've ever met. was like, man, I messed that up, didn't I? You know? But we're kind of known for being judgmental. Why do religious people judge so much? Well, I'm going to give you a couple of reasons why I think we judge so much. Here's the first reason. I think we judge because we're jealous. We're trying to live our lives right. We're trying to do the right stuff. We kind of live inside the lines. We pay our tithes. We're generous to other people. We pray. We live responsibly. And then on the other side, we look across the line and we see people, they're not doing the stuff that we're doing, and yet they seem to be getting away with it. They're having more fun. They have more stuff. They seem to be living the good life, and yet on some level, we can't figure out why we're not. And the truth is, there's something to be said. I mean, they're having fun. Craig Groeschel, he pastors Life Church in Oklahoma. Their church is the church that started the YouVersion Bible app, and many of you use that. But here's what Craig Groeschel says. If sin isn't fun, you're not doing it right. If sin isn't fun, you're not doing right. Because there's something, the Bible says there's pleasure in sin. So we see people that are having fun. We see them sinning. We see them doing, and we're trying to be good. We're trying to do all the stuff that we're supposed to do. And they seem to be getting away with it. Like, how is that, you know? And so we start to judge. Have you ever met a Christian that almost seems to be happy that there's a hell? You know what I'm talking about? Like, they all, like, you're going to split hell wide open, you know? They're almost hoping that people go there, you know? There was a man who wrote a book a couple of years ago. His name's Rob Bell, and he's a man that was really an Orthodox Christian at one point, and then he kind of really veered off the track, and he wrote a book, and I wouldn't recommend you to read it, but, you know, if you do, you'll understand better what I'm talking about. But he started to question a lot of things, and he started an argument about whether there's a hell or not. If there's a hell or not. And someone was talking to Charles Stanley. Charles Stanley pastors First Baptist of Atlanta. And someone was asking him one time after that book came out, said, did you read the book? And he's like, no, I didn't read the book. And said, well, what do you think about if there's a hell or not? Do you think he's right? Is there no hell? And he said, I hope he's right. I hope he's right. And I mean, really, what other response would you have? Like, no, I hope there's a hell and I hope people go to it. I mean, seriously, like, you can't, that's not really the response that we as Christians would really want to have. But the truth is, there is a hell, and there are some people that just seem to be happy that there are some folks that are going to go there. And on some level, that's judgmental. I mean, on some level, it's deciding that, you know, there's a set of rules, there's a set of standards, and I'm better at living at those rules and those standards than you are, and I deserve to go to heaven, and you deserve to go to hell. So jealousy, I think on some level, we're upset that we're doing the right stuff, and they seem to be getting away with it. Jealousy is the first one. Here's the second reason why I think that we're judgmental. The second one is we're self-righteous. Self-righteous. Self-righteousness is ignorant, and it's arrogant. I mean, it's like, man, I can't believe they do that. Look at the way they dress. Man, I can't believe they act that way and they say those things. And here's what that does. It dumbs down the gift of God's holiness to us, and it elevates our self-righteousness. It makes our self-righteousness about us, self-righteousness. Righteousness. People who are self-righteous are very rarely truly self-aware. They're just not very aware of who they are. We assume that we've done what we've done and we're good and they're bad and we're the good ones that God's going to love and God's going to hate them and they deserve to go to hell. And there's some sense of arrogance that, like, man, we're on the higher level than they are. Self-righteous people, the interesting thing about it is Jesus had very little patience for people who were self-righteous. And so I think that that makes it very important that Jesus, man, if you wanted to see Jesus get ticked off, it was about self-righteousness. Like he seemed to go off on that all the time. And so I think that makes it very important. And here's the other thing that makes this very important, this whole conversation about judge not. Here's what makes it important, because when we quote judge not, it's not all that Jesus said about it. There's actually more to that conversation. So I want you to turn with me, if you would, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And we're going to look at just not the beginning of the conversation. We're going to follow through on the entire conversation that Jesus talks about. Do not judge. Here we go. Matthew, the 7th chapter. I'm going to read in the very first verse. Here it is. Are you ready? Do not judge. Do not judge me. Do not compare me. Don't compare me to your brother-in-law or your sister-in-law or that guy in the booth down the hallway from you. Don't compare me to the neighbor that you have. Don't compare me to your last pastor. Don't compare me. Don't criticize me. Don't confront me. Leave me alone. Mind your own business, because my business is not your business. Do not judge me. Do not judge me, period. The dilemma with it is when you look at the sentence, there's not a period. It's actually followed by a comma. There's more to the sentence. When Jesus was talking, he didn't end at "do not judge." Here's what he goes on and says. Are you ready? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Next time somebody starts to be judgmental to you, man, you guys are all really serious, man. I mean, like, it's like I'm right where somebody's living today. Here we go. The next time somebody judges you, just throw it back to them. Say, do not judge me, or you too will be judged. I mean, don't do the first part. Do not judge. Quote the whole scripture, or you too will be judged. Read on. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Okay, so here's the deal. I just want you to do this with me. It was Vacation Bible School this week, so I'm kind of into this at this point. Are you ready? Do not judge me, or you too will be judged. Okay, are you ready? Are you ready? Here we go. Try it with me. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. Okay, now turn to the person sitting next to you. Are you ready? And come on. Are you ready? Do not judge me, or you too will be judged. Here we go. For in the same way you judge, you will be judged. And are you ready? In the same measure. In the measuring stick, how much you measure out to others, it will be measured back to you. I mean, to summarize, is judge other people the way you want to be judged. Now, I think it's a pretty important question. If we're going to talk about judging other people, then the question has to be, how do you want to be judged? How do you want to be judged? Well, I'll tell you, I'll start, I'll answer first. I want to be judged not. Okay? I want to be judged not. And if I'm going to be judged, I want to be judged mercifully. I want there to be some mercy. I want you to take into account a lot of stuff. I don't want you to just take into account to the thing that you're looking at, but I want you to take into account my life. The life I've lived, and I want you to take into account the family I came from, because honestly, my family is messed up, you know? I mean, I have family members here, so I can say that. I want you to take into account the things that have happened in my life, where I grew up. I grew up in a crazy town. I want you to take into account the things that have happened in my life where people have wounded me and hurt me. I want you to take into account not just that one thing that you're looking at. I want you to take into account my entire story, the all of me, not just that one thing, not just that one thing that you're looking at, not just that tattoo, and I don't have one, but just in case, not that one thing, but the all of me. And then Jesus goes on, and here's what he says. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust? Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Now, honestly, I've been waiting for this portion of this passage. Because you know what it means? There is a speck of sawdust in there. I mean, like, they do have a flaw. I'm like, Jesus, I knew it all along. See, like, you told me not to judge because, like, but they do have issues. Jesus, please pay attention. See that tattoo? You see the way they're acting? See what they just said? Jesus, attention, please. Please, Jesus, can I keep your attention? I mean, and so we pay attention to that stuff. And here's what he goes on and says. Now listen to this. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust? And it's there. It's valid. It's a real thing. But why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? I've come up with a new disease. Plank eye. Like some of us have plank eye, and you cannot go to the doctors and get that fixed. And there's some reasons why we have plank eye and we don't seem to want to get rid of it. Here, are you ready? Number one, it's more fun. It's more fun to look at your issues than to look at my own. In fact, your issues actually make me feel better about mine. In comparison, it makes me feel good about who I am. And then the other thing that it does is it helps me to divert people's attention away from my issues and see someone else's. And honestly, that's always better. And the number two reason why I think that we do this is because it's like we're talking to Jesus and say, hey, Jesus, I didn't actually realize I had a plank in my eye, honestly. Up to this point, I was really not even cognizant. I had a plank in my eye. I can clearly, I say I have a spiritual gift. Honestly, I can clearly see what's wrong with you. I just can't clearly see what's wrong with me. I didn't even notice it. And then Jesus clarifies, are you ready? He clarifies that not in judge not. And this is why you judge not. Verse number four, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? How dare you to point out what's wrong with someone else? How dare you to deal with other people's issues when you have issues of your own? In case you don't know, several years ago, I mean, I've always worn glasses from the time I was a young child, and my eyes were really bad. My prescription was really bad, and they were getting worse. And so finally, my doctor recommended for me to have surgery, and they did lens implants, and it didn't go well. And then I had to have more surgeries, and I had five surgeries, and then I had two surgeries to try to fix some of the other stuff that they did, seven surgeries altogether. And honestly, and here I am, I still wear glasses. But I got to thinking, this passage is like going to an eye doctor, somebody who's going to operate on your eyes, and they're blind. You know, it's like they have issues in their own vision, and yet they're going to try to correct. I wouldn't pick somebody who is blind to correct my vision. And so many times we're blind to our own issues, and we try to correct other people's issues, and Jesus has no appreciation for it. Listen to what he says. Are you ready? Because he really, I mean, he punctuates this. Are you ready? He says, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. You're fascinated with someone else's issues, and you spend no time fixing your own. That's what a hypocrite really is. It's somebody who's fascinated with fixing other people's stuff and spends no time fixing their own stuff. And it seems like it's really harsh, but maybe what Jesus is saying, and I'm going to put it in the King James Paul Vallo translation. Hey, y'all, mind your own business. I mean, that's really kind of what it boils down to. Mind your own business. Just deal with your stuff. Let everyone else deal with their own stuff. And we expect this lesson to end there, but the interesting thing is it doesn't end there. Just as much as there was a comma after do not judge, there's a comma after you hypocrite. It doesn't end there. There's more to that sentence. Are you ready? Here's what he says. You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly. When I deal with my issues, when I deal with my mess, when I deal with the stuff that causes me not to be able to see clearly, when I deal with that stuff, after I've done with, when I've dealt with that stuff, I become a better person. I become a better Christian. I become a better friend, a better pastor. You become better parents, better husbands, wives, better employees. It's a reminder to us that we have some issues to deal with. And when we deal with those issues, we become better people. I read this poem recently, and I'll share it with you. When I'm tempted to pass judgment upon thee, I should stop and check for the traces in me. When I'm tempted to pass judgment upon thee, I should stop and check for traces in me. Now, the interesting thing about that is like, I mean, because again, I have the gift of clarity, so I can see your stuff easily. I can see your stuff in your everyday life. I can see the stuff when you're in conversation. And honestly, some of you just blatantly put it out on Facebook, you know? And so it makes it really easy to see. And I'm like, you go down through Facebook, and I'm like, really? Did they really say that on Facebook? Like, more than that, did they really take a picture of that on Facebook? I mean, like, seriously. And then here's what Jesus is saying. Now that you can see, now that you've taken the plank out of your eye, what you should do is you should go back and look at your own Facebook page. You should go back and review the conversations that you've had. Go back and take a look at the way that you've been dealing with the people around you. Go back and examine your own life. And when you can see clearly, you'll be a healthier person. And we'd all like to stop right there and go, whoo, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to be healthier. But see, the deal about this is a process that Jesus starts. Are you ready? Here's what he says. You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your eye, which means if there's something first, there's something to follow. And he's saying, once you've dealt with your stuff and you're in a healthier place, and he gets to the heart of the passage, Jesus says, then go and help your brother. Go and help that person that has that speck in their eye. Something that they have missed, something that maybe they can't even see. But first, deal with your stuff. Most of us, what we want to do is we want to deal with our stuff and become better people and just live our lives out like, man, the world's better because I'm better. But following Jesus, and I left a blank there. If you'll write this in, following Jesus never stops with what's in it for you. Because honestly, if what we do is we just get better, then that simply makes what we're doing serving Christ selfish. And to serve Christ is not just for us to get better, but it's for us to help the world around us. That's why we're here. It causes me to use the leverage that God's given me, causes me to use the experiences that I've had to somehow improve my life, get healthier, and then to help the people around me. It's not just for my sake, but it's for the sake of the people who are around you. That's where it comes into love one another the way I've loved you. Love one another the way I've loved you. Loving one another that way forbids me to size you up and write you off. Loving one another forbids me to size you up and walk away. Jesus says, first get the plank out of your eye in preparation. Are you ready? Jesus says, get the plank out of your eye first in preparation to get the speck out of your brother's eye. You hypocrites, first take the plank out of your eye and then you will see clearly. You'll see clearly how you can help someone else. Here's the deal is the problem with minding your own business is there's nothing in it to help anyone else. In minding your own business, there's nothing in it to help someone else whose business might need minded. The problem with me seeing what I can see in my life and then seeing something in you and doing nothing makes my walk with God selfish. It becomes about me. And I understand that there are some times when this gets difficult and gets awkward and it gets messy, but Jesus turns the table on this whole judge not and says, it isn't about minding your own business. It's not about you just living your life where it's just about you and you leave everyone else alone. It's not just about you becoming a better person and ignoring the issues of everyone around you. It's about you helping them to find the love of God and His perfecting will in their lives. That's what it's about. It's about getting to that place where you can humbly and appropriately go to someone and share with them in love and in humility what God has shown you. And that's not judgmental. Are you ready? That's obedience to Christ. Jesus commands us to address our stuff, but not for our sake. He commands us to address our stuff so that we're healthier and in a better position that we can help other people in this world with their issues. Love one another. Love one another. Love one another. Jesus loved us and then didn't just walk away. He loved us to change us. The problem with self-righteousness and jealousy is it stands in the way of true transformation. It stands in the way of true love. Self-awareness, it paves the way. When I become aware of my issues and what Christ has done for me, it paves the way for me to show the kind of love that Christ has. Judge not does not equate, I read this recently, judge not does not equate to care not. Judge not does not equate to act not. Because love forbids me to size you up and write you off. And love forbids me to size you up and walk away. Now, as I see this and I'm kind of looking around in my life and in our church, I think there's some application for us here. And I think that there are three groups of people. And Sean, if you want to come back. Here's the first group of people, the first audience that's here today. Are you ready? Number one, you size people up and you write them off. It's self-righteous. It's self-exalting. You dumb down the holiness of God and jack up your own artificial holiness. It negates that Jesus died for us. It negates that Jesus died for us to lift us up, and we didn't do anything about that. It was His gift to us. And maybe you were brought up in church and life's always been easy. You've lived a good life, not like really gone into a great sin or anything like that. And you can't understand stuff. You can't understand people's lives. You can't understand their addictions. You can't understand their mess up. You can't understand all the issues that they've been involved in. And you just can't, like, why don't you just get over it? Why don't you just fix that? In response to what Jesus has taught us, that our holiness didn't come from ourselves, that our righteousness and our right life and the Holy Spirit revealing to us who we are and who we can become in Christ. In response to that, if you size people up and write them off, you should repent. You should repent because you've forgotten what Christ has done for you. You've forgotten that once, whether you were good or bad, you still had sin. And ultimately, if the sin of other people doesn't break your heart, then it's probably because your heart hasn't been truly broken about your own sin. If the sin, and like I listen to people talk about the world, like, man, this world is so messed up, and Jesus is going to come, He's going to judge the world, and people, they're going to split hell wide open, you know. I mean, it should be just the opposite. It should be like, man, they're so messed up and somebody's got to help them. If your sin hasn't broken your own heart, then your heart can't be broken about other people's sin. So repent. That means either you've forgotten or you've never faced your sin. There's a second group of people here. You size people up and you walk away. It's like, man, my life is good and it's none of my business. And you see it, like I can see the speck, and there for the grace of God go I. I'm glad I'm not them. It just breaks my heart about that guy, that woman, their family, and the way they're living their lives. I hate that for them. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to be grateful for all you've done for me, Lord, and done. Jesus teaches that other people's business is your business. That other people's issues are your concern. And confronting them may be the greatest form of love that you can ever have. If you're in this place today and you size people up and walk away, you know what you have to do? You have to go confront them. You have to prayerfully and humbly and in the love and the Spirit of Christ go have what will probably be an awkward conversation. I mean, in the ministry, we have to have these conversations all the time. You have no idea how many times I've had to call somebody up and say, hey, listen, man, I got to talk to you. Hey, excuse me, we need to have a conversation. Come on, have a seat and let me just talk to you about kind of what's going on. And there's some stuff that you're going to have to work on. And most of the time, I have to tell you, it's not easy and it's not fun. And a lot of times, I have to tell you, there are a lot of people that reject it. They're like, man, you're wrong. Stay out of my business. But if God has spoken to you, if the Spirit has spoken to you and you've seen a speck, first of all, humbly pray. Ask the Lord to get the plank out of your eye. And then you're compelled to go and confront. Here's the third group. You've been sized up. You've been sized up and somebody came to talk to you, but you refused to listen. When somebody approached you, you just went for it. You're like, man, you heard the scripture rolling around. You didn't even know where it came from. But you are like, don't judge me. Thou shalt not judge. You have no right to judge me. My life is not your business. And like they could have been like, I'm trying to help you. I'm not trying to judge you. But you don't judge me. Stay out of my business. And then after the conversation was over, you could have been mad. But in your heart, you knew they were probably right. If you're in that place today, you know what you need to do? You need to listen. I want you to fill this in if you would. Defensiveness ensures that your past will continue to show up in your future. Defensiveness ensures that your past will continue to show up in your future. When someone approaches you and it's going to be awkward and it's going to be imperfect because there's no one perfect who has perfect conversations. So they might say some things and it might not be exactly the right word in the right place, but they're going to say it. But in that, there's a perfecting work that Christ is wanting to do. Can you see past the imperfection? Can you see past all of that? And no matter how much, honestly, because no matter how much they pray and no matter how much, it's going to be imperfect. But listen, and for those of you here today that there's somebody that you need to talk to, just know it's not going to be easy. It's not going to be fun. And if it is fun, then you still have plank work to do. This is really about a perfecting work in Christ. And many times what takes place is we use the imperfection of the circumstances as an excuse to continue on. But if you do that, you'll just continue to repeat your cycle. I'm going to give them to you again, and then we're going to close out a little bit different today. Here's the first one. Three groups of people here in the church. You size people up and you write them off. Here's the practical application. Repent. Repent. Here's the second one. You size people up and walk away. And the application for you is you have to go confront. There's someone today, maybe the Holy Spirit's already speaking to you, putting a name. If the Holy Spirit's not speaking to you, don't do it till the Spirit prompts you. Don't do it just because you have a grief or a grudge. Do it because the Holy Spirit was doing a perfecting work in you first. But there's going to be somebody that you have to go and talk to, and it's not going to be easy. But be prepared to be equipped and courageous by the Spirit of God. And here's the third one. You've been sized up, but you refuse to listen. Here's the thing that you have to do, is listen. There might be somebody that you have to go back to today, and you have to call them up, a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister, a friend, and call them up and say, man, you were right all along. I was wrong. I need to listen. And when you do that, there's a perfecting work that God wants to do in your heart and in your life. You might size them up and write them off. You might size them up and walk away. You might get sized up. But listen, I'm gonna take a moment here.